lust. Gladly handing filthiness for the righteousness. Dismissing that eternal gift that was priceless. Just cause we were enemies, yeah. What was evident was not the gravity pulling me down, just like gravity low enough to humble me so I could see that it was see-through. Forgave my sins, no longer doomed, bottom saved my friends. This is the peace with God that I have. He rearranged my path that was destined for wrath. So now this race I can run, because I am believing in Jesus Christ the Son. Peace is trusting in what His blood has done, and in Romans 8, 1 and Him. Tell you so you don't condemn. I'm walking in redemption and reconciliation, and peace is no more guilt or shame. I'm justified through faith in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. You know, praise is powerful. if you really understand Ephesians 5:18, you'll find that's how you draw in the Spirit of God. And when you're talking about drawing on and connecting your spirit and your intelligence with the most intelligent individual in the universe that has ever existed. I mean, think about that. I mean, you really got to ponder that. Now, again, you don't never have to take my word for it. That's the Ephesians 5:18. When they talk about being filled with the Spirit, it is not talking about a feeling. It's talking about the intellectual power of God affecting your life in every aspect. You learn that benefit, it'll make your life a whole lot sweeter. Amen. Just thanking God for this opportunity again. And, you know, we're still talking about power and love because that's really, for me, capitalizes what this life is about, learning those two aspects. Because you everybody has power at a certain level. And the monitor and the guide for that is love. Let's go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity because it came with a very high price. You paid for it with the blood of your own firstborn son, Jesus. And we thank you for that, that you show that you love us that much, and that is what your intent is for us to have a blessed life. And Father Jesus, we thank you for being obedient unto the cross, for enduring it, for the joy that was set before you, despising the shame. Oh, I thank you for you. I thank God for you. And I thank you for sending back the Holy Spirit to teach and to guide us and to be a comfort in all the challenges that we face in life and our spiritual development. Father God, right now we ask that you bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom in the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints already, the great and exceeding power you've made available to those that submit and obey you. Father God, we ask right now that you bless us with the knowledge of your will, giving us the strength and courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in it. Every good work approved of by you. We ask that you bless us to grow in the knowledge of you because it can't be accomplished without your help. And so, Father, we ask right now that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own, to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the body of Christ, and I think I'm going to read that so you understand how it's set up. God intentionally called certain individuals to do specific jobs. And that's why we're called the body of Christ. And I'm going to Ephesians 4. We're all one body. We all have a certain job. I mean, I didn't just get up one day and decide I'm going to teach the Bible. I mean, if God had not approached me, it would never have happened. I'd be happy just going to church like everybody else and just reading my Bible and witnessing to people. But this is something he gave me to do. But it also, it's a two-way street. I still have to give up time to study and to listen. But the privilege of having the Holy Spirit share with you things that you otherwise probably wouldn't know or understand is marvelous in itself because it says a lot about God and his, you know, you don't think of him as being humble, but he illustrates it in that as high as he is above us, he will come down to us. You know, there's a song that has a phrase that who wouldn't serve a God like this? I mean, he could be like some of them evil guys I've seen in movies, you know, and just be violent and impatient. But he's not like that at all. And it's amazing that the resistance that people give him, despite the fact they don't have an alternative. They want to hope there's an alternative, but even if the alternatives were as good or as what they hope, they'd be using them. They don't even want those. Because they're not as good as our God. They don't really know our God. That's one of the problems. That's mainly because most of the Christians that they encounter don't know our God. You know, it's sad that a person can be a Christian for 5 years or more and never have read the whole Bible. I mean, not even the whole New Testament. And in many cases, sad, a high percentage have never read the four Gospels. Because if that was the case, I wouldn't be still running into so many people that have no idea that Jesus was coming back. Jesus said he was coming back. He said he would return. He gave us a list of things to look for so that we would know time. And guess what? In this particular time in history, this is the first time almost everything before the rapture, that people debate that term, all the prophecies before the rapture are fulfilled. And one of the key prophecies has been Israel. You know, and the things that occur around Israel is a time marker. It's a memory marker. It's a way that God establishes his authority, and you can't debate that. You got to look at their history, because 450 years before Christ, and, you know, don't trip over if it's 550, you know, don't let people get caught up in. Don't even let yourself get caught up in the exact date. If God wanted exact dates written down, they would have written down exact dates. The point is, they have been scattered because of disobedience. Now, that happens with any nation. People often wonder how black people became slaves. Well, see, God didn't see them as black people. He saw them as a highly intelligent people that was disobeying him by worshiping idols. You look at the first commandment in Exodus chapter 20, and you find out you yourself, if you choose another God, you back off from God, Satan coming after you, and you're going to wind up enslaved into something. That's how a person become a drug addict, a thief, you know, all the crazy things that you can think of when they're enslaved by those spirits. That's how that happened. They have resisted God. Anyway, but that's not my subject right there. I want you to understand that, okay, I'm not an eschatologist. It's a ministry that God has given to people to study in time. Now, they're geared for that. God put their mindset in that aspect, in that discipline to learn that for our benefit. So let me read this to you. It's Ephesians 4:11. And it says, he himself, talking about Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be called children, no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And everywhere in the New Testament where you see that word love is agape, and it's defined clearly in the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. We may get through there, but I know sooner or later we're going to get there because we're talking about power and love. Now, my job is to help people sustain themselves unto the rapture, which at this particular time could happen before this broadcast closes. I mean, that's where we are in time. You know, I do Uber, and on the back of my headrest is a warning to people to be prepared, because, I mean, I would not have done that if so many events had recently occurred. There's a meeting, and somebody told me, their pastor told them about it, and I knew about it, and somebody up north of me sent it down to me that's going on, and they said that the Antichrist made himself show up at that meeting. That's in mid-September. Now, the issue with that is that we, if the Antichrist, if they believe, is going to be at that meeting, if it's the Daniel 9:27 meeting, you need to read that, then we'll be out of here. I mean, really, if you look at the world, if you're hoping it's going to get better, you can't, listen, this, it is not going to get better. It would take at least 50% of the body of Christ. We can delay it. We can delay it another 7 years. That's the expectation. That if we're not out of here this year, we're going to be here probably another 7 years. The problem with that is there's an asteroid called Apophis that hasn't changed its course, and as it gets closer, it becomes more clear where it is headed. And, you know, NASA, you know, America likes to lie and deny when money is involved, because if they told the truth about what's going to happen, the property in California would drop by 70%. That's why they don't expect them to tell you the truth about it. Okay, but some wise people that I have known of that are rich have already moved because they need to be. And one of them, I noticed his conversation has changed and that he includes God in it a little more. See, this thing is real. Jesus said no man would know the day or the hour. Think about that. You know, and I just recently watched a video, and they were pointing out all the accuracies of the Bible, its ability to its prophetic nature. And but they said that when they quoted Jesus, they said, we can't know, can't know. No, that ain't what it said. Jesus said that no man, nor the angels in heaven, nor the Son of God knows, no one but the Father. Now, that but in there is for a reason. If he meant we can't know, we ain't going to know the day. You don't need to know the day and hour because it'll happen when it happens. You don't really know. But he later on gave signs. Okay, you don't give a person signs unless you want them to know something's going to happen, want them to know about where they're headed. Okay, that's what those are for. But we're worse than Noah's days. No, we're doing stuff in our generation that the sodomites, they didn't in sodomy, Sodom and Gomorrah. We worse. It's incredible that we actually do stuff worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. They didn't have transgender. You know, they would do crazy stuff like tie man up. I don't know why they didn't tie women up, but they would tie man up face down in the middle of the city, and men could just walk up and abuse it. You know, be there all day long. Wouldn't feed the man, let him die. I mean, that's crazy. You know, but that was only part of evil. They had orgies every quarter, every 4 months. They had orgies, and it involved children. Don't that sound familiar? Okay. That's where the world is going. But that happens during those periods when man falls away from God. Because in that same era, God is bringing forth the person that we know as the father of faith, Abraham. In that same time frame, that's roughly about 1,000 years after the flood. Now, mind you, in that short period of time, they done created a whole bunch of misguided religions, false religions of what they think God was. And you know what? As it was then, it's now. The key factor around that, when you can get people to give you money for some alleged information, they was doing that back then. This isn't wasn't Solomon saying nothing new under the sun? Satan ain't changed his game plan. See? So now, we're talking about power and love because you need to understand right now the authority you have. If you do not, you're going to become victim of it. You know, I'm watching people, I hear them all the time, they crying, and when I hear them, why God let this happen? God ain't let nothing happen. He gave us, but matter of fact, let's read our key scripture. Let's go back. Man, I really want to deal with this Ephesians 4:11, but that ain't what this message, that ain't what this series is about. You need to read that in prayer. You really do. You really do, because there's a lot in there. Okay, we're going to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And hallelujah. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, Ecorse, Southwest Detroit, Atlanta, Texas, wherever I send you. In other words, you're going to operate in the power of God, but you got to be attuned to God. You got to even know you had his power. Most people struggle getting past what I call the religious phase. To them, it's just, I go to church every now and then, show up. That's supposed to be indicative of the fact that I actually believe in God because I show up at church. Well, I got news for you. James, the brother Jesus, said demons believe. So what do you do that a demon don't do? You know, I watch people because, you know, for strategic reasons, a lot of times I'm on the stage behind the pastor in the dark, and I can see the congregation, and I'll watch worship going on and people standing there, just standing there, you know, not even opening. How do you not open your mouth to God? You wouldn't even be standing there if it wasn't for God. But you can't open your mouth and sing the praises to him. Oh, that's another whole issue. But let's get on. This is the point here. This is why those are the people that do the whining and the crying when something happens. Those are the people that don't know what to do when they lose their job. Why? Because they're so disconnected from God that they don't know the promises of God. They don't know how to access God. And it's no use to have power. It's like people that get killed that have guns, fully operational, but they don't know how to use the gun or fear in using it because they don't know the law. Let me tell you, you come up in my house, you better be saved. And even then, saved people go to hell if they die in sin, so it don't matter. Listen, yeah, I'm telling you, you need to know your rights. You really, I mean, but this is critical here because one of the areas we want to talk about today. We're going to go back and pick up on, you might as well flip over there to Ephesians chapter 6, a well-known scripture, should be anyway, it is amongst most things. Verse 10 and 11 and 12 probably. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power, kratos, of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, tricks, and schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, you know, basically, you know, every now and then I see comments on Facebook about the government. Well, let's go to, I want you to see this anyway, so it'll be in your memory. Go to Daniel chapter 4, time in the history. Now, this is the Old Testament, Old Covenant. It's a different time in history. And so the power level, the authority, that is, put it like this. They had the Holy Spirit on them. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. And so we have more power than they do. And if we have more power than they do, we should be doing better. Bottom line. Okay? Now, this is the deal. Okay? Daniel's in he's in captivity by another nation. Okay? But again, go back to the first commandment. When you start worshiping idols, when you start putting anything before God on a consistent basis, God will approach you to repent because you go back and you hear the prophets warning them, stop, 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 and give them a whole list of things that they need to quit. Be very specific, and then they didn't. So God let another nation catch up on you. And the nations that catch people now is cancer, arthritis, and a whole lot of other diseases. Those are demonic powers that Satan controls, okay? They are living entities. If they're not in a living entity, please send me an email It's 7trainingday at gmail.com. Explain to me how it knows more about you medically, physically than you would have, than you know. You'd have to go to medical school to learn, spend 7 years in medical school to learn what it already knows. Why? Because his intellectual capability is 10 times that of man. You need to understand what you're dealing with, okay? But we are able to overcome that through the power of God in us according to his word. Now, when I mean according to his word, that means I have to apply it according to his word. That means I should be making an earnest effort to live according to his word, okay? You can't just live any old kind of way. I should get to this list. But anyway, this guy Nebuchadnezzar, people thought a recent president, I'm not going to call his name, but was a troublesome person. I think all of them have been troublesome to me. I really could be quite frankly and honest. You know, once I learned the word, I think Jimmy Carter was as close as we got to a president that revered God, which is why he probably had such a troubled administration, because he couldn't get enough saints to pray for him back then. All these failures in government is the result of failure to pray. All right, now, so here we got Daniel during the time when there is no such thing as democracy. Okay, that didn't come until the Roman government came. And here, this guy was so brutal. You know, the king that was in charge at the time, King Zedekiah, he was clowning, you know. God told him what not to do. He did it anyhow. And when Nebuchadnezzar caught up with him, he took him, brought his sons in front of him. He had two sons. He cut their heads off right in front of him. Then he took a hot poker and burned Zedekiah's eyes out. That's mean, okay? They harp on the president because he, you know, grab a woman by the behind or whatever he did. You know, okay, that was wrong. That was stupid. I mean, but, you know, it is what it is. Despite all that, you know, they tried to kill Daniel, threw him in the lion's den. The lions wouldn't eat him and all that stuff. But Daniel maintained a standard before God. That's the main thing. And that's what we have to do, see. And he would not, he wound up in the lion's den because he would not worship anybody but God. That's how exactly how he wound up. He was commanded to worship an idol, and he refused to do it at the expense of his life. And his people didn't want to even worship God at the expense of losing an alleged friend. Listen, I have very few friends, okay? And my closest ones, my Bible friends, they all gone, left me here by myself. Wait, I see them. But anyway, but at the end, let's read this. This now, God, this man got the boasting on himself, and he thought he was all that, you know. And I forgot to look it up, but at one time, God called him his servant. But his head got big. Remember that when you become CEO of a company and you think you're all that because they gave you that big paycheck. You ain't all that. You can call the shots on your breath because you don't know when the last one is. All right? But anyway, it says, so he wound up crazy. That's the word we would use for it. I mean, this dude was walking. When God got through, God took his mind from him. Okay? Took his mind from him. And he wandered in the jungle like an animal, was eating grass, you know. I mean, his hair grew out long, his fingernails grew out long, and then God gave him his mind back. When he don't mess with God, I'm telling you, I tell people, don't piss God off. don't go there. It says, at the end of the time, that ended at 7 years, there's something big about God in 7 years. Anyway, Nebuchadnezzar lifted my eyes. Nebuchadnezzar lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is his everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Anyway, and it goes on. So the bottom line is this. The government is the government. It's part of our function in society. But we the shadow government. We the ones that possess the power of prayer. So now, and I'm going to show you one of the aspects of that. Now, we're talking about let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6 and look at that, you know, and get a revelation of what's really going on. I mean, think about this. That God could have made this heaven, but he did not. Okay, again, I refer to why training day exists. It's to help you get a focus on why. People always, I ain't going to say people, but I know I encounter atheists, and they ask me, why? Why the world messed up? Well, God decided, first off, it's our nature. You got to see it for what it is. When God made Adam, he didn't do it like he did angels. I mean, look what it says. He breathed. Okay, and we look at that and we think, okay, he just blew some smoke or something and some dirt and that. No, you got to look at what's going on. That life came from God, the Lord God Jehovah, creator of heaven and earth. And it's so powerful that inside some dirt, it created 78 organs made in variations of 200 different types of cells. And they number in the trillions, if not 9 million, okay? Now, think about that. Think about that. And then the spirit, the man, Adam, as you do, controlled it all. He made it walk. He made it talk, okay? I mean, think about that. That is what God is trying to get us to understand, that he just cannot let you be ignorant and rebellious and be of your own mind and loosen the universe with that kind of power. I mean, you got to look at what it measures out to and what happens. Anytime, now that spirit that came from God is greater than any other spirit. And God, this life is designed to help reveal that to us. That's why life goes the way it goes. You're not earning your way to heaven. Jesus paid for everybody's trip to heaven. The saints that died before Jesus was born, they were kept in a place called paradise in the center of the earth that was different from the Hades, which is also in the center of the earth, which is still there, okay? That's in Luke chapter 16. That's not some mythical parable. That's a true event and story giving us a revelation. And you get really, revelations are confirmed by the Holy Spirit by spending time praising and worshiping God. That's where that comes from. God can read your heart, your spirit, your intent, your thoughts, your mind. He knows what you will do with revelation. Okay? And he knows whether or not you will receive it, because God is very economical. When you find a person that has zero faith, listen, if God denies, increase. See, that thing works hand in hand. You take a step, God will take a step. If you don't take any, he won't take any. He's economical. He's not going to waste time trying to give somebody a revelation that don't receive. So when an atheist asks you to prove God exists, just tell him God will never give proof to a person that don't believe him. You will die and get your proof. That's the only proof you're going to get. He will never give proof to a atheist, and he rarely, and sometimes he expects his people to believe him, but he will give a revelation to his people and some proofs. But that's because he knows, one, that's a person that's mature to not let their head get big. Again, I refer to a book called God's Generals, where it shows how people's heads get big. You see that in the Bible. People's heads get big. You know, Solomon here got big, I think, you know, 700 wives. That ain't a big head. I don't know what you're going to do with 700 wives, okay? Every wife you see. I really was challenged with that, and Jesus said he was the wisest man ever, none wiser. And I'm like, wow, if there were none wiser, I wouldn't want 700 women. I ain't going to mess with that. But all right, let's get on this. All right, he said, finally, my brother, he said, put on the whole armor of God. Okay, that later on talks about that. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, even though we're in flesh and blood, but against principalities. Okay, remind you, what we're talking about, think about this. These are demonic authorities that legally operated in the earth through people. Okay, and they have different levels. The great thing is none of them have authority above the Holy Spirit. But the reason this is in the Bible is for us to recognize how what we are dealing with and how we have to respond to it. Because, again, the challenge helps us to understand why the power that we have and why it is necessary for us to walk in love or live in the mindset that God has in love. Maybe I should read that. Now we get to this first. It says against powers. Okay. Hold on, let me switch up here. I want to because you need to understand you're dealing with I just reordered the book. I don't know how I don't have my books. If somebody loaned you a book and they don't say you can keep it, get a book back, okay? Get a book back. If I have books, I just ordered two books that I loaned out. And some books, you know, that one particularly, and all pastors, I would say, I just ordered a book called The Angels of Light by Dr. Hobart E. Freeman. He was a psychiatrist. And in these days, you're going to find more people. You need to understand the difference between a person that's mentally ill and demonically possessed. And he does a great job explaining the difference. And that's a simple test. Let me tell you something. A demon-possessed person will not say the name Jesus. As I was given revelation, that'd be like pouring gas. That'd be like them drinking gasoline and lighting a match. They won't say that name. They won't say that. So if you get a person, they're acting all evil, they demonically, but they'll cuss Jesus' name out, that's the person that's probably demonically not possessed, but oppressed. There's a strong demonic manifestation upon them and antagonizing their flesh and their mind because they don't have the Holy Spirit, okay? If you can get them to receive salvation, that ends, all right? Now, again, versus a possessed person, I'm just going with this because we are talking about power, okay? And it is happening more frequently. Listen, this is what is causing all these teens to commit suicide, but these are households that are vacant of the power of God, and that's what we're talking about here, okay? We're talking about powers. Let me get this up here. See, it uses talking about authorities, the ability, power and authority. They have those powers. You know, you probably heard me talk about Satan has legal rights, all right? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, it calls him the man, bless me, Holy Ghost. The God of this world, thank you, Jesus. The God of this world, small g. Never refers to Satan in a large G. Never ever call him king. He's never called king in the Bible, all right? But he has legal authority that was given to him when he usurped it from Adam by scheming and scamming them into rebelling against God. All right. Now, which, again, if Satan, if Adam had been omniscient instead of cognition, he would have known who Satan was, and he wouldn't have been able to scam him like that. See, again, that reveals the limitations that's on us. So, again, even though we may think we know all that, and you see this in people with this technology, they think they know all that. They have at least something that is beyond their control, and they won't know it till it really go to bite them. But anyway, so Satan has, when he talk about the powers, he has influence and authorities. But we have a greater influence, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, that is of this age. that is of this time. That's what it's talking about when it's talking about the world. It's not talking about the earth. It's talking about the world. It's talking about the activity in the governments and the authorities in the earth during this period of time. And it only ends, okay, that does not end. This period of time ends when Jesus come back to reign. But in the case of a believer, when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are no longer subject to the whims of the devil. It's then by choice and choice only. He can't overtake you. He can't overthrow the Holy Ghost in you. You have authority over him. So quit being afraid because you went and watched them old monster movie and you seen all the old freak creatures in there. They don't have authority on you. They will try to trick you. They will talk to your mind. They can do that. They can talk. And they do, they can by right talk to your mind. They just can't make you do anything. They can't come inside and control you. A Christian can be oppressed, but they cannot be possessed. All right? We're talking about powers and principalities. And that's ranges of I'm trying to give you the simple authority. Just like I talk about the fact that when I pray over my weather and I'm trying to learn some more about that. And again, you have to challenge, you have to take the challenge in order for you to learn about this authority. You got to face it. Some people by nature, you know, successful people, they'll take a challenge. They don't mind not succeeding because what we would call a failure is just really a revelation of what not to do. You know, somebody told, I believe it was Thomas Edison, that he asked him, say, I heard you failed making a light bulb over 1,900 times. He said, no, I learned 1,900 ways not to make a light bulb. It's all in your perception. This is part of our nature, which is why God mandates Matthew 22:37-39, that we learn to love God. Think about that. It's not talking that kissy, huggy, you know, when I see my wife and I want to touch her and hug her and all that. That's not the part it's talking about. It's talking about standing, believing him when things ain't going your way, because that is going to happen. Why? Because, again, the force of faith will not work without, I mean, it's not needed without a challenge. And you don't know how much it is until you face the challenge. And once you are, trust me, whenever you overcome in one victory, know for a fact that the next one is going to be greater. It don't go down. Just when the smaller challenges come, that's big, that's happening because you got different levels of demonic activity, as we're reading here. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And people, I don't know, I expect when I see Christians, when I see non-Christians, you know, complaining about the government and the leaderships and all that, okay, I get that. That's their God. That is their God. That's the rule of their life, okay? But in our case, it's different. It's telling us here that when the government is anti us, that we need to use the authority that God has given us. Okay, and this is what people miss it, because it, you know, I was in, told somebody, and they was complaining about the lack of Christians attending protest marches. That's a worldly thing. Okay, again, this is what you're dealing with. You're not dealing with flesh and blood. Abortions for the world, that's what they do. God's way of life. And if they choose to rebel, they deal with the consequences. Believe me, the devil will triple-double cross them. Okay, and even at that, we are limited. We can pray. I mean, it's very, you can, okay, so you protest. You get out there. I've seen protests. I've seen them all around the world burn down half the city. And guess what? All it did was gave the lumber companies a boost in income from repairing the damage. Ain't changed nothing. Because if you don't address the issue, which is demonic forces, you're just wasting your time. This is what we're supposed to do. What's going to happen? happens when Jesus comes back? How you going to deal with that? You ain't going to protest Jesus. I mean, come on. We are here to learn our nature. You're not working to get to heaven. You can't do. See, that's that. I'm going to do good, and I'm going to have on my record, I protested, and I'm going to show this to God. God, I protested. And then he's going to look at your prayer list. You know, like, well, I don't hear you see you calling on me to do nothing about it. You know, okay, so you protested. I know that all sounds good. There's a time to march, I guess, you know. I'm going to leave that alone, but I'm telling you, that is, we do a lot of things because we don't want to do what the Bible says. And that's the whole point of this life, is to develop a mindset to do what God say do, how he say do. That's how Daniel succeeded in turning the government leader around. So if you want to see the government leader turn around, quit talking about him and talk to God about him. That's the only way you're going to resolve that. I mean, when somebody can ask you, if you can't answer the question, yes, did you pray for the president, the vice president, the cabinet, and Congress at least once this week? Yeah, you're going to protest. Because guess what? Them powers and principalities is in Washington, D.C., okay? They get infected into the government. See, Satan, a lot of times people they address Satan, and it's not Satan. Satan is not omnipresent. He is not everywhere present. So everything happening is not of Satan. Only at the higher level. He deal with leaders. He don't even deal with all pastors. Okay? He deal with pastors that reign and command authority at a level that is a threat to him. Case in point, there's some pastors that are zero threat. They don't know how to pray. They don't know who to pray to. They praying to somebody that cannot answer prayer. Satan has control of them. See? But even at that, I pray. I pray regularly for the Pope. Apparently, it's not enough of us praying for him. Quite naturally, if he was to get delivered, that would have a major impact on the whole world. But we can't muster more than 5%. I get challenged. I know I've been told that 25% of us that are productive. I ain't going to argue that. But apparently, that's not enough because he's still believing what he believes. See, just like Daniel's prayer affected Nebuchadnezzar, our prayer should be affecting the Pope. Instead of talking about that, they believe in all that idolatry and they, you know what's on your record that you didn't pray for them? Their record and your record, and God ain't gonna hold up their record before you and ask you why you didn't pray for them. You ain't gonna be able to say, well, they was in the idolatry. He ain't buying that. He's going, no. Because, you know, when we get to, well, we ain't gonna get there. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Why do we need them weapons? See, this thing tells God, this way of life tells God how much we understand how to operate and walk in love. Again, you don't walk in love. It's easy to walk in love when y'all agree. It's the disagreement that God is looking at when they don't agree with you, when they don't believe you, when it's the opposite. Then it shows him your level of maturity. That's all he is looking at because, listen, when you leave his body, you at full authority. You at full level. You have 100% use of your mind. That makes you one of the most dangerous individuals in the universe. That's why people are good people, honest people, hardworking people wind up in hell because God can't trust them out in the universe. That's sad, but it is true. And they're there eternally. And I don't care about the debate about, you know, whether he keep them there forever. I know they ain't going to be roaming the universe. You know, I wouldn't have no problem what he do with them. But the point of the matter is, you know, they're there. That is why people think they can be good. No, it ain't about being good. It's about being submissive to God. If you have a problem with that, you better drink a lot of water. Breathe a lot of this air because ain't none down there. Stink and stink and stink. All right. But against powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world. That's why you see, I just seen a new bill coming through to legalize drugs on the federal level. That is about is to diminish the already diminished moral standards. Because that's what drunkenness do. You forget your realities and everything becomes a game. It's like this constant state of childhood. You want to play games with life. And you have to get beyond that, okay? You know, I don't waste time knocking folk and telling them, you know, about, listen, they don't understand. I'm going to tell you, if you're depressed, pray, you can't be depressed and praise God at the same time. A lot of Christians really do not know the simplicity of that. I know. I like I say, I sing to God at least once a day, every day, if not twice a day. You know, that's why he allowed gospel music, Christian music, uplifting music. It has a purpose, okay? Not chemicals that's destroying your brain cells and your organs and your body, all right? And now this ain't the stuff they had in they say back in the 70s, this new level chemicals, and it will kill you faster. And they want to decrease the population. If you don't think they do, you delusional, all right? But that's what the rulers of darkness deal with. Okay, as they say, witchcraft, the definition, as it says, that when it's called witchcraft in Ephesians chapter 5, it uses the term, Greek term, pharmakia. And for a long time, people considered psychiatry witchcraft, you know, because everything ain't, and, you know, when they wrote the Bible, a lot of things and terms we use now didn't exist. Just when I talked about Jesus teleporting, I even noticed some Christians that are shocked that I use that term as though that's not what happened, but that is exactly what happened. And that's another reason why you need to understand the power and love, not just the power of love, because we're going to talk about that probably next week. All right? So the rules of darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that covers a lot of territory right there. But that's how Satan gains ground. But he can only do that because of the silence of the lambs. Hey, I found a place to put that. Anyway, because if we don't, you'd be surprised how much your simple prayer accomplishes. Because that's how the authority is managed in the world. That's where we use the power of God. See, that's when angels go to work. And you need to get past this using this limited aspect of prayer. I mean, God can use prayer in English, and there is a time, a lot of time for that. I do it every day, you know. I pray for people every day, you know. I rarely pick up people in my car and don't pray for them. But for the most part, there are things I don't know. And there are people in countries that I won't see until Jesus come back. But in order for me to minister, for me to get to engage angelic activity for their benefit, I got a note today of a pastor in Syria that's under threat. But in order to engage those demons over there, I need more power, more force, more revelation. That's a lot easier to just let him do it. See, again, that's how the power and authority in the world works. See, now that's a good segue into the operation of the Holy Spirit in our prayer. The Holy Spirit, okay, God gave dominion to man. And because we got new people, I want to read that. Let's go just jump right over to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, so we understand. I want them to understand how this world is set up. So that's the whole point of this, because if you don't engage in spiritual warfare, you're going to wind up a victim. And I'm seeing it all the time, every day. People are victims and don't even know. There's something we learn in law enforcement called syndrome. That's from Stockholm, Sweden, where it's about a person can become in captivity and be in captivity so long, they begin to relish the captivity and their captors and resist those who would come to liberate them. And that's what you find a lot of times with Christians. They be caught up in stuff so long that liberation is the aggravation to them. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image. And this is the part that I still see people missing. After our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish and over the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. All right. Now, when you're dealing with the devil, you're dealing with the heavenly realm, the atmosphere right above us. But you can't, you're dealing with the realms around you that you cannot see. Now, when you receive the Holy Spirit, on now you can deal with that realm. You can deal with the demonic activity. And one of the things about that that you see through history, prior to the advent of the Holy Spirit in the earth, you had a lot of false gods. Now, there's a book out called Return of the Gods. I haven't read it. Probably won't read it. I know it's a good book because of the writer, and his objective is to reveal what I'm sharing with you right now. But and what it is about is alerting people to the fact, particularly in the United States, which has been protected from demonic activity because of the body of Christ, the greatest body of Christ, the greatest group of praying Christians is in the United States, and I happen to think it's in Michigan, but that's just my opinion. So these creatures come back because people allow them. And that's what the book is about. It's called The Return of the Gods. But see, the difference is before Christ, Satan could manifest anywhere at any time. That's why you have all these gods, Zeus, and all the, you know what I'm talking about. You know, I don't even try to remember them. They have no authority over me. And then, see, that's the main thing. They don't have authority over me, which tells me why, another reason why I know they're not going to show up before the rapture. That's what I stand on the most as to whether or not we will be here when the Antichrist show up, is because I have authority over him. Plain simple. I have authority over him because there ain't nothing but Satan incarnate, and I have authority over Satan. Otherwise, I'd probably be dead. I'd be dead or something else. He would believe me. He knows me. If you pray every day and you read the word and if you just walk upright, he knows you because you that's like flipping him off and telling him, you ain't nothing. I can live right if I want to. I can disobey you every chance I get. See? But anyway, so I want y'all to understand that God gave man, but see, when you're dealing with the Holy Spirit that you have, you now have spiritual power at another level that you couldn't even possibly have it before you receive Christ. See, Christ, you go back and review my series on Christ, because it's a lot more than people know, because it's presented throughout the Bible, but they just didn't recognize it. They really didn't focus on it because they're not spending time with God. That's how I found out about it. I mean, it's something. We're dealing, so the whole point is, again, as I made reference to this last week, we have more power than all, one Christian has more power than the entire nuclear arsenal on the planet owned by every country. Think about that. And the only thing that guards that is their living in love. That's why God has a mandate for us to learn that part. All right. So we come to another end of another segment. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a blessing to be able to do this. It's such a privilege. Amen. I know a lot of people won't see this until after the rapture, but it'll be there for them. It'll help them get through them 7 years of tribulation. Man, I ain't even thinking about that part. Hallelujah. But to be able to access this power, all it takes is this simple prayer in faith. You don't have to. It takes time to get a revelation of it, but you will. And just notice that God loves you. So say this prayer with me and just say this: Lord God in heaven, I do not understand everything right now, but I believe the Bible is your word. And I believe what it says, that all men were born in sin because of Adam's sin. And I believe you sent your son to die sin to restore us in relationship. And I acknowledge that Jesus is your son and he is the resurrected Savior. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and save me now. And I say with my mouth and I believe in my heart that I am saved. I am born again. Amen. And if you're coming back to Christ, just say, Lord God, I believe you. I ask forgiveness for my sin. I was deluded by Satan, but I'm back and I'm ready to serve you now. And I thank you for it. According to 1 John 1:9, in Jesus' name. Now, it don't get no better than that. Don't get no simpler than that. But we just going through this, but I want you to ponder this. Don't just cast this to the side because and seek God about some revelation. I'm telling you, you want to understand this, but pray. Pray for people. Get in the habit of prayer. I have a series on the Ephesian prayer. You want to pray the word on somebody. There are books on prayer, effectual prayer. You can look it up on Amazon. You really want to have that because you want to know how to access, utilize faithfully prayer, you want to successfully pray because you pray according to God's promises. Don't just yada, yada, yada some stuff out there. And don't, above all, don't beg God. Don't please God. You don't have to beg God. God don't lie. He said he'll honor your prayer. He said that. He said he'll hear your prayer. All right? But notice that prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom.
Do you want that kindness? Let me help you find it. I'll show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes, yeah. Jesus is the finest. In him will your body change. Kindness, let me help you find it. Show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes, man. See Jesus is the finest. In him will your body change.
Look, I bear a cross, bear fruit, wear cloth with the logo. Show it off, it's so cold, but most don't know. Fruits are the things that show forth the evidence of the spirit inside. You can see them like a photo. Click. So when I don't flow, you should see kindness. It shouldn't have to look hard to find this. Everybody knows what it is. Let me define this and take a look at the motives behind it. This is another attribute of God's divineness. We share in it cause in his image he designed us. But we don't reflect that in the proper light cause we're broken. We put our votes in. Humanity is pro-sin. So then God decides to show men kindness despite the fact we never chose him. Or should I they choose him, we chunking them deuces. Silly come pursues us with irresistible love, he woos us. The truth is, fruits are the proof that he moved in. If they not growing, then we living in illusion. For our iniquity, they bruised him, roosted him up on that tree. For you and me, the good news is his kindness leads us to repentance. God and man can be friends since Christ took the bid for our death sentence.
Do you want that kindness? Let me help you find it. I'll show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes, man. Jesus is the finest. In him will your body change. Do you want that kindness? Let me help you find it. Show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes, man. See, Jesus is the finest. In him will your body change.
Dry branches, brittle, easily broke. They only good as firewood, throw them in the smoke. Once they detach from the vine, then they quit growing. If you're not bearing fruit, it's because you're not getting soaked in the riches of his word. No time in his presence, I'm gonna give him my best and not just a couple of seconds. So check it, you ever spent so much time with a person? You started talking like him, man, watch and learn. See the company that you keep is certainly gonna determine how you walk, how you talk. That's why I be hurting when we don't spend time in that book and our prayers are life selfless, then wonder why we as his children don't look like him. So tell me, what good is fruit if others don't take a bite in? When they get a taste, do they see Christ in? If not, then don't go fake it till they do. Go back to the root, see Christ abide in the mirror.
Do you want that kindness? Let me help you find it. I'll show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes and see Jesus is the finest. In him we abide, he changes. Do you want that kindness? Let me help you find it. I'll show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes, man.